This is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Welcome into Wednesday, August 5th, 2020, and welcome into the Guy Benson Show, hosted by me, Guy Benson. Appreciate you being here. If you don't know much about me, if you're new to the Guy Benson Show family, welcome. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for being here. I am the political editor at townhall.com and a Fox News contributor. In fact, I'll be on the news channel this evening, scheduled to be there around 7:20 p.m. Eastern on The Story with Martha McCallum, although she's on vacation this week. So it's Sandra Smith who will be filling in. I will be paired with Richard Fowler on Fox News this evening. Richard will be one of our guests here on the radio today. So with that TV programming note, let me tell you about the radio. Our website is GuyBensonShow.com, GuyBensonShow.com. All the ways to listen live, including streaming. We, of course, have our wonderful affiliates across the country, a growing group of affiliates. We also have the podcast for those who might miss the live broadcast. GuyBensonShow.com for that podcast as well. It's free of charge across an array of platforms, including iTunes or Apple Podcasts, including the iHeartRadio app, Spotify as well, also Pandora. On today's show, Charlie Hurt is going to stop by. We haven't had him in a while. Fox News contributor, looking forward to that conversation. We will also go to Israel and speak with FNC correspondent Trey Yinks, who will join us from Tel Aviv on a really horrific explosion in Beirut, Lebanon, yesterday. I've seen the video now, multiple videos, of one of the most powerful explosions in the history of the world, according to experts. I saw one list that had it in the top five, most powerful explosions ever recorded. What happened at the port in Beirut? What is the official explanation? Does that make sense? We will get a report from Trey Yinks. As I mentioned, Richard Fowler, who's a Democratic strategist and a Fox News contributor, he will be my guest later on in the show, and then we will square off on TV on The Story tonight. And last but not least, guest-wise, Mercedes Schlapp from the Trump campaign is going to be here. She was on CNN yesterday with Breonna Keeler, who I think generally is one of their less agenda-driven people at CNN, but things got relatively nasty, and I think Keeler, unfortunately, wandered into unprofessional territory and would not let Mercedes make, I think, a number of fair points, and either wasn't hearing her, not understanding her, didn't want her audience to actually consider the points that Mercedes was trying to make, and eventually said that Mercedes was just saying, quote, a bunch of crap. She said that twice. So we intend to treat Mercedes Schlapp with more respect and dignity here on this show, and we will actually let her speak in complete sentences. Imagine that. And she will make her case. I have questions. That's generally how these things should go. So a novel approach here on the Guy Benson Show, and I'm not saying that anyone over at CNN should be taking notes, but maybe they should be taking notes. Fox News alert, as we get going, let's bring you the latest stats. Confirmed coronavirus cases in the United States, 4,748,806. The death toll in America from COVID-19, now 156,311. The Dow is having a good day. The market's up across the board. Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 307 points at this hour to 27,139. And part of the reason behind this is yet another piece of promising good news on the vaccine front. And it's from yet another company. So Operation Warp Speed, to basically create a vaccine or a cure in record time, spearheaded by the Trump administration with the military's involvement, the private sector's involvement, really everyone working together, a lot of money being spent. This is an area where I think the government has every reason to spend taxpayer dollars, even if some of it turns out to be a bit wasteful. You're trying to set up the country for the best case scenario as soon as humanly possible. And that involves casting a wide net, which is what they're doing in Operation Warp Speed. And there are multiple partnerships and private companies here in the United States, over in Great Britain, a few cross-Atlantic partnerships that are really making enormous progress. And some of that progress, I think, is being reflected today on Wall Street. A good day so far with 49 minutes, 50 minutes left of trading, and we'll bring you an update at the start of the next hour on how things close out on this Wednesday. Let's begin here on the program with quite an interesting soundbite from Joe Biden this morning. Joe Biden, you may recall, is running for president. He's not really out there very much. He's running not a front porch campaign, which is a historical comparison that's been made to his approach. This is even before coronavirus, but a largely a basement campaign. And in fact, there's a new update today about how he's going to be sticking at home even more than previously expected, not participating in person at the Democratic National Convention in Milwaukee at all. He's not going to go. We'll circle back to that, but for now, there was a question posed to the former vice president, the presumptive Democratic nominee. This morning, it was a CBS reporter asking about this issue of his cognitive abilities. President Trump has spoken a number of times about these cognitive aptitude tests that he has taken. He says he's aced them, gotten every question correct. We remember pretty famously now the litany of words that he recited several times in a row. Person, woman, man, camera, TV, I believe is what it was. And it sort of got some traction during the interview with Chris Wallace on Fox News Sunday. We had one of our doctors here at Fox News conducted an interview with President Trump, and he raised this issue again. And it seems like the goal of Trump in the campaign is to get Biden to take a similar test. Because just to be candid and to still be delicate about it, I've been making this point for about a year. Going back to the very first Democratic debates in their primary process, where you watch Joe Biden's performance, and there are periods of time where it really seems like he is not fully there or with it or able to articulate the thought that's populating his head at any given moment. And there are sound bites galore about this over the course of the last year. So he was asked about this, Biden was, by the CBS reporter. Biden didn't take very kindly to the question. His response has raised some eyebrows. Listen to cut five.
Mr. Vice President, your opponent in this election, President Trump, has made your mental state a campaign topic. And when asked in June if you've been tested for cognitive decline, you've responded that you're constantly tested in effect because you're in situations like this on the campaign trail. But please clarify specifically, have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
Okay. So he said that he has taken tests, or that he's tested every day, right? That's been his sort of line. I haven't taken a cognitive test. I'm tested every day because I'm out there running for president, although he hasn't been running a very active campaign. And when he was running a more active campaign, the issues sort of piled up on this front. I don't think it's offensive to at least express some thoughts about the acuity of Joe Biden at his age. He's running for president, right? He's not running for America's favorite uncle. He's running for president. So there's an ask for a clarification there. You heard it in the soundbite. Biden jumps in, no, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Well, I mean, I can think of a few reasons. Come on, man. He loves that one. Come on, man. Like, it's sort of offensive that he asked the question. And then here's what he says. It's like asking you, before you got on this program, did you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not? Adding, are you a junkie? Now, there are a number of people on social media noting that it is perhaps eyebrow-raising that he would make this drug reference to an African-American or a person of color asking the question. Right? When he was challenged, Biden was challenged by a popular black podcast host, Charlemagne the God, about his credentials and, you know, whether he's the best choice for black voters in the election. Biden got a little upset about that, right? He seemed frustrated by the premise of the question, right? He wasn't necessarily flummoxed, but he was miffed. He was ticked off. He said, if you're black and you can't decide between me and Donald Trump, quote, then you ain't black, right? That was his response on The Breakfast Club. He was sort of angry. And he had to walk that back. And now he's asked about a cognitive test and cognitive decline by a person of color, a journalist of color. And he says, well, that's like me asking you, are you on cocaine? Are you a junkie? And some people are reading into the racial component. I'm not really convinced that's at all what Biden was suggesting or implying or was the undertone of that counterpoint. Although I think that if it were a Republican, that would absolutely be the way it would be covered, right? That would be a huge part of this conversation. You know it. I know it. It's Joe Biden, so maybe he gets a pass on that racial edge, the racial component of this answer that some people are reading into. I don't embrace that. But I do think it's not a good answer. I don't think it's a good posture. This indignant, why the hell would I do that? Well, because you're what, 77? And sometimes can't form complete sentences, and you're running for president. That's why. And I guess, Joe, if you were doing an interview with a host that was like sniffing aggressively with nostrils flaring and dilated pupils and sort of eyes darting around everywhere and a little jumpy, then you might say, hey, you know, maybe we could take a test if you're on cocaine. Maybe you're a junkie. If there's some basis for that. There is some basis for at least raising the issue of Joe Biden's mental state. And I think you have to be careful and compassionate about how you talk about it. Keep in mind, I did a whole hour on the show yesterday about Donald Trump's really weak interview that he did with Jonathan Swan. I think Trump campaign, and I'll say this again, if they keep setting the bar so low where it's basically on the ground for Joe Biden, all he has to do is step over it by being like sentient and mostly aware of his surroundings, tactically, I think that's an error. But I don't think that it's, you know, why the hell would I take a test? Are you on cocaine? Are you a junkie? I haven't taken a test. Why would you do that? Well, here was Biden today, just today, in Cut 39.
The way China will respond is when we gather the rest of the world that in fact invades in open trade and making sure that we're in a position that the world that we deal with WHO the right way. That in fact that's when things begin to change. That's when China's behavior is going to change.
Got that? Mm-hmm. There was a word that he said. I don't even know what he was saying. It sounded like he said "in bathe," in, I don't know if he was trying to say Beijing or trying to say engage in. Let's hear it one more time. This was today, same day that he's very upset that people might ask a cognition.
The way China will respond is when we gather the rest of the world that in fact invades in open trade and making sure that we're in a position that the world that we deal with WHO the right way. That in fact that's when things begin to change. That's when China's behavior is going to change.
Last week he had a rare press conference. He opened it this way. Cut 18.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Kingswood Community Center. Actually, that's the one down I used to work. It's a joke. You know where we were anyway.
Uh-huh. And then we have cut 20.
The case where we cannot let this, we've never allowed any crisis from the Civil War straight through to the pandemic of 17, all the way around 16. We have never let our democracy takes second fiddle. Way that we can both have a democracy and elections and at the same time correct the public health.
Yeah, there you go. Why the hell would I take a test? He said in another answer that, well, maybe President Trump can't tell the difference between a lion and an elephant, which is one of the questions on this test, but I think Trump did get that question correct. I don't know. I think it's reasonable to say, hey, Joe, why don't you take the test? And he can push back on that without asking the TV anchor if they're on cocaine. just a thought. But he'll be giving his speech not from Milwaukee, we found out, but from Delaware. President Trump sounds like he's going to do his speech from Washington, not from wherever it's going to end up being, North Carolina or Jacksonville. So it is a strange, unusual, disrupted election cycle, the likes of which we literally have never seen. And we've got you covered here on the Guy Benson Show, where we are just getting started. So much to get to, including a great lineup. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Energetic, informed, fast-paced. Guy Benson Show.
These days, being prepared for the unknown is more important than ever. I'm sure you've noticed the world we live in today is anything but predictable. We could all benefit from something reliable right about now. Well, what could be more reliable than real gold and silver? I'm asking you that. I'm talking about real gold and silver that you can hold in your hands if you choose. Call the Oxford Gold Group and do it right now. Learn how easy it is to get real gold and silver sent securely to your hands, to your home, or have real gold and silver placed directly into your IRA, or maybe have a 401k or both. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-600-GOLD. They're waiting for you. Ask for your free guide on owning gold and silver. Don't feel like you got to know all about it. That's what the guide is for, and that's why it's free. So call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-600-GOLD. That's the Oxford Gold Group. I've been telling you about this. It's the only gold company that I trust. So call them right now. You have a pen? Call them right now at 833-600-GOLD, 833-600-GOLD. That's 833-600-G-O-L-D.
In uncertain times, you can be certain of this. The Salvation Army is serving those most in need with help and hope. Thanks to your donations, the Salvation Army is helping those affected by COVID-19, those who've lost wages, who have no home to retreat to, who need food, help with utilities, and most of all, hope. To see how you can continue to make a difference, visit givewestwood.org. Givewestwood.org.
Hiring is challenging. Just ask Dylan Miskowitz, the COO of Cafe Altura.
We needed a director of coffee in order to move our products forward. It felt like we were looking for a needle in a haystack.
Dylan started using ZipRecruiter and found his perfect candidate in a few days.
We were very impressed with how quickly we had quality candidates apply through ZipRecruiter.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/search. That's ZipRecruiter.com/search.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network. Download and make it Hammer Time with Bill Hemmer.
Karl Rove, I think people have got to be careful about thinking about doing things that discourage people from working. There is a vitality and an integrity and a value in working. We are better people when we are working at something than we are by just simply lazing around. And if you've got a chance to work, by God, have the dignity of working.
Subscribe and listen now by going to FoxNewsPodcasts.com. Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Although he was the Speaker of the House from 1971 to 1977, Democrat Carl Albert of Oklahoma served in Congress since 1947. In a 1990 interview, Albert gave his impression of President Lyndon Johnson.
Lyndon Johnson was the most politically oriented person I have ever known in my life. He thought nothing else. I remember being down on his ranch with him. He was taking me around and showing me his ranch, and he'd show me a deer or a cow or something. But before he got through the sentence, he started telling me, what can we do about so-and-so? He pushed all the time, and he would jump on people. He would yell at his office staff. He'd even yell at members of Congress.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk. This is Poll Parade with Fox News Director of Polling, Dana Blandon.
Voters see the pandemic as the biggest problem facing the country, and more trust Joe Biden to handle the virus than President Trump. Yet for many, the top issue remains the economy. And in our Fox News survey, the two candidates match up about evenly there. Here's another question that might give insight if the election's about the economy. In a 1980 debate with then-President Jimmy Carter, Ronald Reagan asked voters, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? Today, one voter in four answers yes. That's 26% that say they're better off than before Donald Trump took office. About the same number say they're worse off, 28%. Nearly half, 45%, say their situation is unchanged. That's just one of the questions we'll be tracking before the election. By the way, Fox News wasn't around in 1980, but a CBS News poll conducted that fall showed only 21% felt they were better off than the previous year. I'm Dana Blanton. That's your Poll Parade.
There's never been a more critical time. Fox News Media is bringing America together. America is watching News and Fearless Debate on Fox News Channel. We're invested in you from Wall Street to Main Street to your street with Fox Business. America is listening wherever you are, on radio and podcasts, trending the stories you need anytime you want online. And Fox Nation, streaming the entertainment that celebrates America. Fox News Media, America's news, and much more.
Guy Benson, we're back. Thanks for being here. I went a little long in that opening monologue. That Biden soundbite was really something. Are you a junkie? Are you on cocaine? All right, I didn't have cocaine on the morning bingo card, but it's 2020, so you know what? Cocaine for breakfast. I want to bring you a small update, but it could loom large, involving a Senate race in Kansas. Democrats were very hopeful that Republicans in the primary, which happened last night, would nominate Kris Kobach, who was their failed gubernatorial nominee last time, very controversial, unpopular with a lot of Republicans, which is why he managed to lose in Kansas as a Republican nominee for governor. Democrats desperately wanted former Secretary of State Kris Kobach to be the Republican nominee for U.S. Senate, because they felt, and their polling showed apparently, that they could pick off potentially that Kansas seat. And Kansas is a solid Republican state when it comes to U.S. Senate seats. They've got the longest streak, actually, in the country of electing Republican senators. The Democrats and Chuck Schumer's groups poured in more than $5 million meddling in the Republican race to try to boost Kobach. Kind of like Todd Akin in Missouri, where Claire McCaskill got to pick her opponent and squeaked through and managed to win re-election because he was so flawed. Well, Republican voters had other ideas. Congressman Roger Marshall was the quote-unquote establishment choice, basically not Kobach. The Democrats were rooting for Kobach. And the Republican voters said no thank you. And Roger Marshall, the poll showed it pretty close. It was not close. He won, last I saw, 14-point margin for Marshall. So he'll be the Republican nominee. I think that's likely to be a safe Republican seat now. It's already a tough map for the GOP and a sigh of relief, I would say, on this one for the Republican Party out of Kansas. We'll be right back with Charlie Hurt on The Guy Benson Show.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast.
There are lots of ways to mete out accountability and consequence and responsibility in our culture that do not depend upon indictments and prosecutions. We have lots of ways to do it. Narrowly avoiding indictment should not be praiseworthy or should not be seen as a clean bill of health in our culture.
Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
This is House Call for Health. 4 years ago, during the last presidential campaign, America was facing a health crisis, an epidemic of opioid addiction. This election year, we face the coronavirus pandemic, but the crisis of drug addiction hasn't gone anywhere. According to projections from the National Center for Health Statistics, which is part of the CDC, nearly 71,000 Americans died of a drug overdose in 2019. That's a record. One big change from 2016, the drugs of choice. Since the government has pushed back on drug companies and doctors who overprescribed opioids, many people turned to other drugs, including heroin, fentanyl, methamphetamines, and cocaine. The three states that recorded the sharpest increase in drug deaths: South Dakota, North Dakota, and Alaska. And health experts warn that this year, anxiety over COVID-19 could make the drug abuse problem even worse. For more health news, go to foxnewshealth.com. House Call for Health, I'm Anna Eliopoulos, Fox News.
From wet to dead.
A picture-perfect family in the middle of a double murder investigation.
Ever heard the phrase, master of disguise? The one thing they can't find is Margaret Rudin.
Fox Nation brings you Five Fatal Females. Don't miss Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, Killer Wives. All this week, only on Fox Nation. Get a copy of Sean Hannity's new book when you join today. Go to foxnation.com for details.
The Dean's List with Janice Dean.
A hero boy who's getting a superhero shield makes today's Dean's List. Captain America star Chris Evans reached out to 6-year-old Bridger Walker of Cheyenne, Wyoming, with a personalized message via Instagram. He heard about Bridger when his Aunt Nicole first posted about her nephew's heroism on her Instagram, describing how the little boy had saved his sister from a dog attack. She wrote, "Saving his little sister's life by standing between her and a charging dog. After getting bit several times on the face and head, he grabbed his sister's hand and ran to keep her safe." Chris Evans saw the post and took a moment to acknowledge the real-life superhero. He said, "Pal, you're a hero, and what you did was so brave." Chris also promised to send the little boy an authentic Captain America shield from one hero to another. Well deserved. Thank you, Bridger. The world certainly needs to hear more about heroes like you. Janice Dean, Fox News.
Now, from the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
On July 27, 1976, after months of legal wrangling, former Beatle John Lennon finally won residency in the U.S.
Well, it's great to be legal again. I'll tell my baby and our functional coach and, of course, the Immigration Service for finally seeing the light of day, as they say. Good. Thank you. Yeah, I'd love to. I should have got a different picture.
What does it mean to you after 5 years of struggling to become a permanent resident to get that green card?
Well, it was a very slow, long struggle, so it's not like, you know, it suddenly ends. I'll come out of it slowly and I realize I can go to visit relatives in Japan, show them the baby, show them in England, you know, save them coming over here. And I can go visit the relatives and come back with safety now with the green card. How do you feel?
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. How do you stop the high number of police traffic stops of black drivers?
Have someone else do the traffic stops. Berkeley, California, one of the most liberal cities in America, is exploring a plan to create a new force of unarmed civilians who would be responsible for routine traffic stops.
The goal is to try to reduce the racial disparities in stops.
Jesse Aragin is the mayor of Berkeley. Several studies have shown that the rate of police traffic stops for minor infractions is disproportionately higher when the driver is a person of color. As the city council approved the plan, many in the audience supported the idea. Some said it didn't go far enough and demanded that the entire police department be defunded. And some said a civilian traffic force will never work.
Or they're doing something that's unlawful, they're not going to stop. Or if they do stop, they'll give the person that's stopping them a hard time.
With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
GuyBensonShow.com.
We are back. Thank you for listening. I'm Guy Benson. GuyBensonShow.com, the website for key interviews, the podcast, for download or subscription. It's all free. We're just always honored and humbled that you listen to us. We really mean it. We are growing. We're sort of young and scrappy here on the talk radio scene, and it means a lot that you spend a chunk of your day here with us. So thank you. The next person to thank is our next guest. Charlie Hurt is back on the Guy Benson Show. He's the opinion editor at the Washington Times and a Fox News contributor. And, Charlie, good to have you back, first of all. Hello.
Hello. Great to be on, man. Thanks.
So I have a few topics for you, but sometimes I've learned in our many interviews together and just our private conversations back when we actually would see each other out because people were out, I would just sort of ask you what's on your mind, and sometimes whatever you're hyped on is the most interesting conversation we can have. So what are you thinking about these days in particular? Anything?
Well, I think that I obviously, you know, you look at you listen to Democrats talk about the current state of polling. And they're feeling very, very optimistic about things. And a lot of people in the Trump world are very stressed out about the polls. But I got to tell you, Guy, I think that this is another one of those cases where, you know, every 4 years, those of us who spend all of our time following politics and chronicling every twist and turn, what we often fail to realize is how late voters actually dial in. And the fact that we have...
Uh-oh. I think we lost. We lost Charlie. We lost Charlie. We'll get Charlie back. But I think, let me finish the thought for him. I think I know where he was going. We are here on, what, August 5th? Right? So it's the very beginning of August, which is broadly seen as the doldrums of summer. Typically, Congress is in recess for August. Now, they're not this time because they have a huge mess that they're trying to deal with COVID relief, so there's going to be a big political fight this August. But a lot of Americans are off on vacation or trying to figure out what they're going to do, you know, in the fall for school and all sorts of stuff. And there's a chance, I think Charlie was going to say, that a lot of people are going to say, all right, when these weird quasi-conventions happen, we'll watch the speeches. Let's really watch the debates when those unfold in the fall. And there's a fair amount of latitude here, a wide berth for potential movement away from where the polls currently are. So we have Charlie Hurt back, I believe. Was that the gist, Charlie, of what you were going to say?
Yeah. No, precisely. And I just think that this, more so than any election in our lifetimes, people are going to dial into this one later because they've got a lot of other things going on right now. And your point is exactly the one that I want to make, which is that it's a time. I cannot think of another election when debates are going to be more important. And the fact that you have an entire party that seems to be sort of rallying around this idea that Joe Biden shouldn't accept debates with the sitting president to see who should be our next president is kind of astounding. Terrifying.
I don't think the Democratic Party is embracing that. We've seen some lefty commentators. There have been columns. There have been TV segments. And then there's been a response to it. I still get the sense, and in fact, we have Biden – I guess, gave an answer today where he said, yes, he looks forward to having the debate. So I think the debates are probably going to happen. I just feel like there's a lot of chest pounding, Charlie, from both sides.
Yeah.
Trump people saying, oh, yeah, Trump's gonna crush Biden. He's going to destroy him. Biden doesn't know where he is half the time. And then the Biden people are saying, oh, my gosh, look at that interview with Axios yesterday. Trump doesn't know anything. Biden just has to look like quasi-presidential, and he'll you know, win in a cakewalk. I think there's a lot of faux confidence. If I were a strong supporter of either of these two men, I would absolutely not be confident in their ability to perform on the debate stage, even though I agree that the debates are going to be really important.
But also, the other thing is, from a tactical standpoint, all of this talk, you know, hyperventilating about how bad Biden is going to be, the lower you set expectations for
yep.
Joe Biden,
yep.
and then he barely passes them, that's not going to be good for President Trump and Team Trump. They're probably a lot better off, if anything, inflating Joe Biden. I mean, after all, Joe Biden's been around for 45 years. He's been through all these debates.
Right, professional politician.
Yeah, and I would argue he got his tail handed to him by, but I think I'm probably in a middle.
Yeah, it's funny when you ask people about Joe Biden's debate performances against Sarah Palin first and then Paul Ryan second. I think that the expectations for both Palin and Biden were relatively low for various reasons, and I think that they both kind of held their own. There was a very strong media narrative that Paul Ryan got crushed by Joe Biden in 2012, but I don't think that's true. I think that debate was basically a draw. Both guys held their own, but I think the media was looking to latch onto something after Obama got his rear end handed to him in the first debate by Mitt Romney. And so they, you know, the media was desperate to say, okay, there's a comeback here from the Obama people. That was my read on it. But a vice presidential debate is different than three presidential debates where you've got two men in their 70s who can get agitated very easily and very quickly, who don't particularly like each other. I mean, it could be a little off the rails, and I feel slightly guilty for looking forward to that for some reason. But
oh, stop it! Don't feel guilty. It will be a magnificent guilty pleasure to watch the two of them go at it. It's going to be. But you know, the other thing that I think is also important to remember is it will be interesting to watch the vice presidential debates this time as well. But step back and picture it. Imagine if Barack Obama, who is probably the most successful, you know, kind of normal politician since, you know, Bill Clinton. Imagine if Barack Obama in 2008, who ran a very hopeful, promising campaign in 2008, tried to run on the issues that Joe Biden and the Democrats are running on this time. He never would have gotten elected that first time. And I just think that is so interesting that if Joe Biden had decided from the beginning, because he laid himself prostrate during the primary, but imagine if Joe Biden had decided to run Barack Obama's campaign from 2008 in
just like running on the Obama, at least the initial Obama agenda. I'm not going to say the Obama presidency was moderate, because it wasn't. He liked to project moderation, but he wasn't actually a moderate. He was a pretty hardcore ideologue. But if he ran saying, hey, let's just do the Obama thing, that actually a lot of the Democratic base now says that's not nearly good enough.
And Obama was smart enough to realize that he had to posture as a moderate, even as I agree with you, he governed as a not a moderate.
Right.
But he knew he had to pitch those politics. And I swear, I look around, I mean, I look at the landscape of Democrats today, and I, you know, not that I agreed with anything Barack Obama ever, you know, even in 2008 when he on anything, but I wish. You got the sense at the end of the 2008 election campaign that Barack Obama liked America. I don't get that sense today, and I find it very disheartening.
Well, I get the sense. I think Joe Biden fundamentally likes America. I think that there's a very loud and growing contingent in his base that has fundamental problems with the country to the point of hostility, which I don't like, and I don't like indulging that sort of thing. He's had to position himself to get this nomination, and what worries me is if he wins, because I think with everything happening and coronavirus and the economy and the polarization and unpopularity of President Trump could be this perfect storm for the Democrats potentially to win this election. I'm not confident that Joe Biden's sort of old school instincts would prevail if he was president, because I think he won't be the one really calling the shots or pulling the strings. I think it might be other people who have a radically different view of this country. Quickly, since you mentioned the vice presidential debate this year, we know one side is locked in, the vice president, Mike Pence. Who's your money on the other side? Who do you think it's going to be?
Oh, I'm probably the worst person to ask that, because I have so little sense, feel for what it is, what kind of, just from the gamesmanship standpoint, what Democrats are thinking. But
we have a conspiracy. There's a conspiracy against your cell phone, Charlie.
Oh, no.
Go ahead.
Did you lose me again?
So I
would put my money on Kamala Harris, but the fact that she has that law and order background, having put a lot of people in prison, I don't think I would have said that her devotion to justice and the law would have been an asset to her. But in this environment, I don't know anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, her devotion to the law. I mean, I watched her performance during the Kavanaugh hearings, and I was deeply unimpressed on that front. One more subject I want to raise with you. It's Charlie Hurd, our guest here from the Washington Times, Fox News contributor. I've played this soundbite before on the show. I want to play it again, because it comes from Robert Redfield, medical doctor. He runs the CDC. He has made the following point about deaths among students, children, particularly high school students, during COVID-19, and it's not because of COVID-19. Listen to cut 32.
But there has been another cause that we've seen, particularly in high schools. We're seeing, sadly, far greater suicides now than we are deaths from COVID. We're seeing far greater deaths from drug overdose that are above excess that we had as background than we are seeing deaths from COVID.
So, Charlie, I play it because I think some people who are demagogues and simplistic thinkers about COVID-19 and what to do and what our policies ought to be in reopening schools, there's a line of argument that if you are pushing for schools to reopen, you are pro-death. Mm-hmm. You want children to die. You want teachers to die. You can never call yourself pro-life. You're basically a monster. You're against all the science. And look, I have concerns about kids contracting the virus and bringing it home, or faculty members, right? There are real worries there. But there are also, we heard this from the director of the CDC, the deaths among American young people. If we're talking about concern about young people dying, he said in far greater numbers than COVID, we are seeing an increase in suicides and overdoses among particularly high school students. If we care about the lives of our children and the lives of kids in this country, that has to be, that data point has to be a really important component of any debate we have about reopening schools. And you don't really get that when you see some of these teachers' unions out there putting up gravestones, you know, outside of schools. And I wonder what your thoughts are on that.
Well, of course. And you know, this is the problem of politicizing anything like this that should be the opposite of politics. This isn't politics. I mean, there are larger political issues. There's a reason that we have civilian elected officials who make decisions in a time of a pandemic. We don't just go to the nearest epidemiologist and say, here are the keys to the country, you take over, because we need people who take in the broader picture. But this thing that we have seen in the last 4 or 5 months, where this thing has become so politicized that everything you do is viewed through the lens of politics. It's very dangerous, and right. it's no way to combat a horrid ailment like this that, of course, is very dangerous to anyone who could, you know, and I know kids that have gotten it and have been horribly, horribly sickened by it. And thankfully, the ones that I know have managed to survive. But my goodness, this is not room for politics.
Charlie. I'm just going to jump in and make this point because your phone is breaking up just a little bit, and I think that you'll agree with this. In our line of work, political commentators, pundits, politicians, candidates for office, there's really not a huge amount of room, it feels like, these days for humility. But to me, when I talk about this virus and this pandemic, it's hard not to feel extremely, profoundly humble because – we have no control over it. Things that we thought we knew actually were wrong. Things that we might think we know now could be wrong. There aren't easy answers to almost any of it. But a lot of the discourse has descended into, if you do not support X thing exactly the way that I do, you want the economy to crash or you want children to die. And it's just a lot of black and white assertion in an area that is confusing and confounding and scary and gray for a lot of people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I wish that – and I think it is a reflection of how poisoned the political climate was going into this, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I could go on a long harangue about how I think we got here, and other people would have their own harangue. But the bottom line is at some point – we have to sort of unilaterally disarm. Everybody needs to disarm and realize that, you know, somebody in their politics doesn't mean that they want, as you say, children to die or
suffering.
To get sick.
Yeah, it's like, oh yeah, no. My, exactly. My opponents are in favor of mass suffering. If that's generally your view on politics, people who disagree with me want mass suffering. There's probably a need for self-reflection about your own assumptions. And with that, Charlie Hurt, we've got to get you, A, a landline, and, B, an invite back, because we always appreciate having you here. He's the opinion editor at the Washington Times, Fox News contributor. Charlie, always fun. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, guy.
And we'll be right back.
You're listening to a new generation of talk. Generation of talk. Guy Benson.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-785-9132. That's 800-785-9132. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-785-9132.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-715-9880.
That's right. Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-715-9880. That's 800-715-9880.
Sponsored by Annuity General. Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Stay on top of the latest news and information from Fox News. Listen and download the Fox News Hourly Update on your time. The trending stories you need anytime you want it. Listen and download now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. The Fox News Rundown is a weekday morning podcast that dives deep into the major and controversial stories of the day. Hosted by the anchors of Fox News Radio. Subscribe now to hear a perspective of news you won't find anywhere else. Listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
I'm Ashley DeBorca with a Fox Profile and a look at what's new to view at home. New On Demand is Most Wanted, starring Josh Hartnett. Here's Fandango's Eric Davis.
He plays an investigative journalist. It takes place in the late 80s, and this is based on a real crazy story of entrapment.
Horror thriller The Rental is Dave Franco's directorial debut.
It's about these two couples who rent a house for a celebratory weekend away, but things don't go necessarily as they planned.
Netflix adds the teen rom-com sequel, The Kissing Booth 2, and the docu-series Fear City, New York versus the Mafia.
Trying to take down all of the Mafia families at the same time, which was something that was unheard of.
As If, the 25th anniversary of Clueless, inspires a new Fandango Now collection, modern adaptations of classic literature.
A lot of people don't even know that Clueless is a modern adaptation of Emma. Other films on that list include Romeo plus Juliet, 10 Things I Hate About You, which is based on Taming of the Shrew.
Ashley DeBorkin, Fox News.
And it's now our responsibility to preserve, protect, defend freedom and liberty for our children and grandchildren and future generations.
Watch the special interview as Sean Hannity previews his new book, Live Free or Die.
The Republic is at stake here.
Available now on Fox Nation. Get a copy of Sean Hannity's new book when you join today. Go to foxnation.com for details.
Back on the Guy Benson Show, the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors voted 4-1 to put a measure on the ballot in the fall, shifting about $500 million of the county's budget to social programs, a move that the sheriff likens to a partial defunding of his department, also the DA's office and law enforcement. So this is the type of redirection of funds that Joe Biden has endorsed. I wonder, would he specifically endorse this? Would he specifically endorse the redirection of funds in Portland, disbanding an anti-gun violence task force, which they did on July 1st, took that funding away, disbanded that group, and now we've seen the highest monthly murder rate in Portland in three decades. Does Biden endorse that move specifically? I wonder if someone were to ask him that, would he accuse them of being on cocaine and a junkie, which was his response to a question this morning. Another hour of the Guy Benson Show coming up. You don't want to miss it. So much still to come. Stay tuned.
Hey, if you look around, you watch the television, everything's different in the world today. And we'd benefit from something reliable, something we can depend on, you can rely on. Well, what can be more reliable in your life, in your bank account, than real gold and silver? It's gold and silver that you can actually hold in your hands, and you can put it in your IRA or 401k. It's really easy. I know what you're saying. I never did that before. Where do I start? Well, that's why I want you to call the Oxford Gold Group, and you could do it right now. You'll learn how easy it is to get real gold and silver sent securely to your home, or how you can have real gold and silver placed in your retirement accounts, whatever that may be. So call the Oxford Gold Group. They're really cool at 833-600-GOLD and ask for your free guide on owning gold and silver. The Oxford Gold Group is the only gold company that I trust. You know what? And you should too. They'll walk you through it. They don't expect you to be some business savvy international trader. Call the Oxford Gold Group right now at 833-600-GOLD to speak with a gold and silver expert. That's 833-600-GOLD, 833-600-G-O-L-D.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1995. Mike Tyson.
In the last 3 years, I had the chance to reflect on my life and develop my mind, and I will continue my journey to making myself a better person.
Frustrating for firefighters because there are some areas where we're reaching and touching people, but we just can't get to them.
The bombing in Oklahoma City was an attack on innocent children and defenseless citizens. It was an act of cowardice, and it was evil.
I did not, nor to my knowledge, did anyone else in the White House destroy, mishandle, or misappropriate any document in Vincent Foster's office.
The White House has contended that the Clintons were passive investors in Whitewater. The facts are otherwise.
If it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
News as it happens then, news as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.